Chodesh Tov. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Daled, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Gimel Omud Beis. Hayisha she'amra, hitkabel ligiti. Okay, now we've finished our dinim of the shlichut. What is it that allows us to accept the fact that these are shluchim? Now, note that everything that we've done until now, of course, we're mekayim, al pi shnei edim, yakum davar, we have the edei chatima, according to Rabbi Meir, we have the edei mesira, according to Rabbi Lazar, we have to do actually both of them to make sure, even al libe de Rabbi Lazar. But what about the part that we don't really know anything about? And that is, we have edei mesira, but the Eidei Mesira are not to a woman. The Eidei Mesira is to some guy. Now, I mean, she is claiming and he is claiming that I am a shliach to accept this get, and therefore giving the get to me is giving the get to her. But how do we know that? Where is the Eidim about his actually being a shliach? Therefore, says the Mishnah, the truth is, if we have a situation where someone is claiming that this was a shliach kabbalah, so we need two different issues. We need edim that say that this is a shliach kabbalah. She told this guy in front of us, you be a shliach to be bekabel my get. And then besides that, we need the edim of mesira. We're going to see that this is going to leave the Rabbi Lazar. So the edim mesira have to say, shnayim shomrim, bifanenu kibel vikara. That in front of us, this shliach actually accepted the get, and then we tore it up. Now, why it is that it was torn up, he tore it, that the Gemara is going to speak about later on. But the issue over here is an important issue, even though it sounds like it's just an ancillary comment. Because remember, as long as the shliach has the get in his reshus, then we believe what he says, you see, because he could always give the get now. That's called the migu, that it's biyadai. But if he tore the get up, then it's no longer biyadai. So this becomes a very complicating factor in our discussion of the Gemara, as we'll see. Again, as to why we tear it up, there's various issues that are involved. Do not confuse this with the normal din of tearing up a get. Normally, when we say the Bezdin tears up a get and instead issues a Maisa Bezdin that says this woman was divorced in front of us and so on, the reason that that's done is for financial reasons. That's after Ketuvah is paid, in order to prevent suing and claiming in a different Bezdin that she never got her Ketuvah and that here's my get, and that's enough of a basis for me to collect. So we issue her a Maisa Bezdin that she's divorced, but she can't use the original get for collection anymore. That's not what we're talking about over here. Over here, we're talking about, for some reason, the person who was mekabel to get for her tore it up on the spot, which is weird. So the Gemara is going to end up saying that the reason that this was done is because this Mishnah was written about a time in which there were all kinds of Roman decrees against following Jewish law. And because of that, they wanted to make sure that the cops could never find the get, because you don't really need the get afterwards. Okay, the only reason we bring it here is because that way we affect the ne'emanut of the person who claims to have given her the get, because he no longer has it in his hand that he should be ne'eman. So therefore, we need two different sets of edim. I mean, we don't really need two different sets of edim. It could be the same people. Afilu heina rishonim heina achronim. It could be the same people that saw that this shliach was appointed by her, and then they saw that the get was delivered to him. That's fine. Or you could have maybe one of the first pair, meaning the one of those two who saw her appoint him, and maybe one of the achronim, one of the people, was witnessing the tearing up of the get and the acceptance. And then there was another guy, a third person, that joined up and made these into two plus two. That doesn't matter. The important thing is that we have two edim on both steps. Idma. So now the question is, what is the halacha of an escrow individual? The escrow holder is called a shalish, remember in Hebrew. He's the third one, the guy in the middle. Three is a crowd. He's the person that is actually supposed to be ne'eman. He's the person that they're believing to hold what it is that's in escrow, right? So we call him the shalish. So now let's talk about a case where we've got this wild situation in which a husband claims, I put this get into escrow to hold it for me, to deliver when I decide I want to divorce my wife. And this jerk went ahead and divorced my wife. I never told him to divorce my wife. So now the shalish is claiming that's not true. He gave it to me to be Magarsh's wife. He never asked me to hold on to it. So in a case like that, who would be believed? So Rav Huna says, the husband. Rav Chista says, no, it's the shalish, it's the escrow holder that is the one that's believed. So, okay. Precisely the cases and so on is not 100% clear. Do I need edim for any of this and so on? Let's just assume that we're talking about straight out. Who is Naaman? So the reason that he's Naaman, says Rav Huna, is because the whole situation is absurd. Since we're talking about a case over here, as Rashi explains, I mean, that's a given. We're talking about a case over here where obviously the woman and man are still together. And therefore, if he wanted to give her a get, he could give her a get. Why in the world would he have given this to a third party unless he meant that the third party should hold on to it? Because, and that's the whole point, says Rav Huna. I mean, the situation cries out that we should believe him that he did not intend to give it yet. Because the imita de legerish and yavinele, if he was true what this guy claimed, then why wouldn't he just give it to his wife? The very point that he does here, which is that he gives it into an escrow holder, means that it wasn't meant to be delivered. Whereas Rav Chista says, no, we always believe the escrow. Why? Dahemne. Look, you took the risk. You were the one who believed this guy. I mean, isn't that the halacha? That if you gave money to a shalish, whatever the shalish says is believed. Why? Because you believed him. So the very fact that you took upon yourself that belief means that it's ridiculous for you to now turn around and say, well, I didn't give it for that purpose. So therefore, I say that's the whole meaning. If you give it to somebody, you make yourself very vulnerable, then that means that it's to your satisfaction that this should be used against you, if necessary. In other words, I believe you, whatever it is that you say. Masiv Rav Abba. So actually, Rav Abba asked on Rav Huna. It says, "Odaat pavdin kemiya edim dami." But shalish is ne'eman mishnehem. Even though we have this halacha that if a person admits to owing money, that's the same as having 100 witnesses to that effect. But the one thing that's even more powerful than that is where you have an escrow holder saying what is meant to be done with that money. For instance, okay, it gets that. Let's say, Zeo Merkach, Vezeo Merkach. So we've got two people. The money was being held in escrow. The escrow holder says, well, I'll tell you what happened. The only one that we believe is the escrow holder. So how could Rav Huna say that we don't believe, in this case, the escrow holder for the get? There's no comparison, says the Gemara. Consider why it's true that we believe the escrow holder. When we're dealing with something that has to do with financial matters, right? So then, in that case, the very fact that I appointed this person to be an escrow holder for me means that I'm taking upon myself that in the event that I claim that he's lying or that he stole it, I've taken that risk, accepted that risk, and I no longer have claims to this money. That's what you said when you gave it to him. That was the meaning of putting your funds into escrow. So since you were makabel on yourself, the fact, if that's the way it is, c'est la vie. What am I supposed to do about it? So you're meichel the money. You can't be Meichel a get, and therefore your particular opinion and the fact that you believed in him and were willing to make yourself vulnerable is totally irrelevant to the issue. We need to know, from an objective point of view, we need to know whether this get is a kosher get. So don't give me some stuff about money. By money, that's the whole point of escrow. But when it comes to a get, there's no such thing. Your feelings are irrelevant. And therefore, shiny mamon, the itiyahiv lemechila. Over there, you can say, okay, you know what? If the guy's going to mess me up, what can I do? So that means you've already been mekabel on it, and this is the facts in the case. Therefore, we believe him. But wait a minute. It says beferish in the brayta v'chein legitin, that this is true for gitin as well, not only for mamon. So what are you telling me for mamon? Excuse me, since when does gitin necessarily mean divorce? Gitin doesn't mean divorce. Gitin means when it comes to contracts. All it's saying is that even if there is a contract, you gave the contract into an escrow holder. So then what you're saying is that his definition of what it is we had agreed on in this contract is more binding than anything else. That's all it's saying. What does it say anything about gitin noshim? Gitin moment. But there's a different price that says v'chein l'shtarot. Shtarot are gitin moment. So then this price that says v'chein l'gitin seems to be talking about gitin noshim. Why is that? You've got two separate prices written by two separate people at two separate times, and you're telling me that if one says shtarot and the other says gitin, they have to be referring to different things? Why do they have to be referring to different things? Midigabe hadadi tanya. They were written together. They were published together. I don't understand. Both of them are referring to v'chein legitim or l'chein l'shtoros to the same thing. Shtore momen. Okay, so now let's take a look at our Mishnah, because our Mishnah seems to be addressing exactly this issue. Tonight, Aisha she'amra yitkabel legitim. Tzricha shtei kitei edim, shnayim she'omru b'faneinu amra, v'shnayim she'yomru b'faneinu kibel v'kara. Now, why does she need to have edim that he was a shliach and that he was mekabel the get? Why don't we believe him as an escrow holder? He's basically holding this get. He says, I am her shliach to be mekabel. He says, the Baal gave this to me in order to be mekabel. You said that where you have somebody who is in possession as the current holder of the get, that he is believed. Isn't that what you said, Ravuna? I don't understand. So why is our Mishnah any different? Our Mishnah says we have to produce Edim. Why don't we just believe the fact that the guy is holding it? No. It says he tore up the get. That's the whole point of our Mishnah. Enochinami, if a guy is holding the get, and it's in his hands to do what it is that he wants with the get, that's called biyodai. But in this case, is this person holding a kosher get that we should say, the migo, what's the migo? Migo that if he wanted, why should he lie? That he can just enter the get now. So why in the world should he lie, right? Okay. So that's called a migo because it's biyodo to achieve what it is that he's saying he's doing. But in this case, he could not achieve the get. He is stuck with a ripped up get. So how can he say, believe me, why should we believe you? Okay, fine. That explains one part of it. Explains the fact that Amra, you have to prove that he was really a shliach l'kabbalah. But why do we need to have actual witnesses that there was a Kabbalah? I know there was a Kabbalah. I see the get. The fact that the get is torn up has nothing to do with whether I see the Kabbalah or not. How did he get this get? He only could have gotten this get because I gave it to him. So why is that not sufficient in conjunction with the witnesses signed on the get and in conjunction with the witnesses that say that he, in fact, was authorized to receive the get? Now I see that he did receive the get. Now I have all the information I need to have a kosher divorce, right? So kibbel amali. Amar Rava, because we're going alibi de Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Elazar holds that you always need Eidei Mesira, and that that was essentially what the Torah was mitzavi l'chatchila, with those words, Alpi Shnei Eidim. These are your Shnei Eidim that are the Eidei Mesira. Now, that's not to say that without, like those we've shown him, like the Rambam, who learns that you can have a Mesira without Eidim in the event that you had Eidim that are Chatumim. Fine. That's true. But certainly the halacha is that you're supposed to deliver a get with Eidim, and that's all we're asking you to do. Okay, by the way, what's this business about tearing up the get? I don't understand that. Why the heck would somebody tear up a get? Now, again, as explained in the Mishnah, we always tear up the get. But that's only in Beis Din, where we're going to issue her a special document from Beis Din to say that she's divorced, and that way she won't be able to use her divorce in lawsuits claiming that she was never paid her ksuva. That's a different issue. But over here it says that right after receiving the get, he tears it up. Why would somebody do that? Omrav Yidomarav, look, I mean, you understand the reason that we talked about the case. That's to avoid the Migo, and that's the whole point. You're asking me, isn't it ridiculous? No, it's not ridiculous, because there was a period during which the Romans had made it a offense to utilize a Jewish document. So because of that, they were afraid. So it was B'sha'ata Gzera Shonu. Okay, what's the difference? Bottom line, that's what happened. Omar Rabba, so getting back to what Rav Huna said, Rav Huna would be made that if, and this is an outrageous statement, that Rav Huna supposedly would be made that if the wife said, well, you know, this escrow guy told me that it was given to him for Gerishim, then she would be believed to say that. That is utterly insane. I mean, obviously, you're misquoting something. How could it be that if the guy tells us directly, Rav Huna says, we don't believe you. But if the woman says the guy told her directly, then he is believed. What is that supposed to mean? Mi kamidi de shalish gufe lo me'ama. But somebody quoting the shalish would be me'aman? Of course not. And what really happened over here, please? I'll tell you what the correct quote from Rabbah is like this. If the wife said, kamaydi di legershin yava niyale. In front of me, it was handed over to this shalish in order to divorce me. Then she's mehem. Why? Because she could have lied with impunity. She could have said, my husband gave this get to me. And a woman who says that her husband gave her a get is always believed. So what's the problem? And therefore, she's got the ultimate migul. Now, how about in a case where the Baal actually gave it to a shalish? He says the gerushin, the shalish says the gerushin, and the wife says, he actually ended up giving it to me, and it got lost. So now we do not have any record of the fact that it was actually given to her. So normally, if she's able to present the get, we say, okay, how did that get come into her hands? But now she doesn't have the get. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, well, where's the Eidim? This is a Dover Sheberva, and ain't Dover Sheberva pachot mishnayim. I mean, we can't believe her just because she claims that she had received it. But the question is, why not? Why don't we believe the shalish? I thought you said that we believe the shalish. So let's believe the shalish. He said that the husband gave him this get, and he delivered this get. So, and in this case, it could be that we should believe him by the simple migo that he is basically believed to say that he did something that he could have done when he has no reason to lie about it. It's not true. There's no get. We only said he's got a migo because he's able to do it. And that he's able to do only when he is holding a get that he could now deliver. In this case, we said it was lost. Okay, fine. Why don't we believe the husband? Because Amar Rabbi Abba Rav and Amar Rabbi Yochanan, A husband who says, I divorced my wife, is believed. Again, why is he believed? Because he has an ego. If he wants to divorce his wife, so go divorce your wife. What's the point of telling us you divorced your wife if you hadn't divorced your wife? So because of that, in this case, he should be believed. Because in this case, the husband said, yep, I gave him that get for Gerushin. So what does that have to do with this case, for God's sake? The husband never said, I gave her a get. He only said, I gave a get to this guy to deliver to my wife. So what is he has nothing to say about the matter. He doesn't know anything about it. Who cares if he gave the get to the delivery agent? He never said that I gave her the get. Well, but if he says he gave the get to the shliach, and the shliach is saying that he is a shliach, don't we have a general rule that is called chazaka shliach oseh shlichuto? So we have a general rule that if a shliach is given something, he generally completes his shlichut. Here, the famous case, the Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, somebody who says to a shliach, listen, I'm not having much luck with the shidduchim business over here. Could you go out, find a girl for me, and give her this ring, and be mekadesh her for me? Could you do that for me? The guy goes, and he never comes back. And it turns out that he died. Now, we have no idea whether he did what he was supposed to do or he didn't do what he was supposed to do. So the halacha is, this guy's never allowed to marry anybody. Because, see, he finally finds a girl. So she says, okay, but, I mean, are you sure we're allowed to marry? Maybe that crazy guy had actually made you the husband of my sister. Or made you the husband of my mother. Or I don't know which one of my relatives he went ahead and made you a husband to. So how can we get married? That's true. So any woman in the world that could be related is absolutely unable to marry him. Why? Because chazaka shliach oseh shlichuto. We're assuming that the guy actually went out and married somebody for him, and therefore shliach oseh shlichuto. Now, if that's true there, why isn't it true over here? We're all agreed that the shliach got this get to deliver, and we're all agreed that we have a chazaka shliach oseh shlichuto. Fine. So then, let's assume, based on that chazaka, that this Isha is becheskat megureshet, right? No. I don't understand. You bring me this crazy case. We're being machmer. By the way, Tosfos learns in the end that this whole thing has got to be basically a knas derabanan because of this guy being such a nut and being so mizalzel and going to go out and get me a girl. I mean, that's crazy. Okay, so therefore they were very machmer in this case to say, yes, we're going to assume shliach oseh shlichusai, and it could be anybody, and fine. That's, you understand the likelihood of such a thing. It's ridiculous. So that's a knas. Avalakula, what we're going to use shliach oseh shlichusai to rely on the fact that a woman is megureshet? No way. Okay, but there's another issue here. This is very interesting because we're coming up one after the other with all of the cases where we believe someone gave a get. So we have another basis. That's Ravuna. Why don't we believe her that she received the get based on the famous psak of Ravuna? Rav Amnuna says, Ha'isha shamra leva'ala gerashtani. A woman says to her husband's face, you gave me a get. She is believed because of another chazaka, a psychological chazaka. Ein hisha mi'izah paneha bifnei ba'ala. A woman to say straight to her husband's face that you divorced me when there's no such divorce is so crazy that we have a chazaka that we don't normally have that. Therefore, in this case where she says, you divorced me, she should be believed. Says the Gemara, as we've explained elsewhere, this general psychological rule of Rav Amnuna is only in a case, it's only where we don't have external indications that she can rely on. So she's not going to just make up this ridiculous fib out of nowhere when there's nothing backing it up at all. But over here, she has very strong basis for making this claim, right? She says, listen, here's the shliach. He said he got the get. We got the get. I'm telling you, I just lost it. Over there, she'll lie through her teeth. And in such a case, Echa de Misayela, Me'iza in Me'iza, she certainly would have the chutzpah to make up the whole thing. Now the question is, we get to the point in which we need to wonder who can be mekabel a get. Now that we've talking about the shlichut, who can make the shlichut, when we believe that it was a shlichut that was made, what are the types of shlichut? But remember that there is the direct issue of kabbalas a get. We accessed this just a few days ago when we pointed out that the Torah, remarkably, does have a case where a man gets a get. And where is that? Where a father is mekabel a get for a daughter. It was because of that that we were able to say that a shliach lekabbalah of a male is, yes, that's acceptable. And we were still unclear about what the din would be about a shliach olacha of a female, because she can never send a get. But this raises the overall question, who is the person that receives the get in a case where there is a father available? This is a very interesting situation. If you have a child who is already an adult, meaning that she's already 12 years old, so she's a gedola. Now, remember that the Torah said, bin ureah beit avia, that the father, nonetheless, has rights to be mekabel her kedushin if she is a nara. So he would also, in the event that the kedusha was never consummated and she was never yotze from the rishus of her father, he would also be able to be mekabel a get from her arus, not from her husband, because of course, once even a ketana gets married, she leaves the rishus of her father, koshke, a nara who gets married. So then we have a situation over here where a father is both mekabel the kedushin and he is able to be mekabel the get. What about her? If the Torah gave the rights to the father, are those exclusive rights? And somehow or other, we pretend that she is not a gedola and she doesn't have das to be mekabel her own kedusha? She doesn't have das to be mekabel her own get? As a matter of fact, let's consider, what about the ketana? Does a woman need das to accept a get? No. As we saw before, it's possible to give a get even to a cheresh, a chareshet. Whoa. Rosh Chodesh, Richie. Wow. Very impressive. Question is, are there any Jews to daven? I mean, it's a nice edifice complex. Let me see the minion. Okay, we'll hope for the best. So that's an issue. A ketana doesn't need das. So suppose a father accepted kedusha for a ketana. Now she's completely married. Can she accept the get for herself? Yes. But how about she wasn't completely married? She was only an arusa. Now can she accept the get for herself? Or does the father have to accept the get? Is that such an obvious question that it doesn't need to be asked? Why doesn't she still have the ability to accept the get? Because you don't need das to accept the get. So whether we're talking about a nara or whether we're talking about a ketana, we seem to have a question of who would be able to be mekabel the get. Now, it's a little bit of a machlokas over here, whether the same question that we're raising about the nara would be true about a ketana. But fine. There certainly are plenty of Rishonim who say that it even includes the Nara, the Katana. It's interesting that Rashi contradicts himself here and in Kedushin, and there's all Tezvis who claims that Rashi changed his mind, and he, in the end, he actually accepts that it would be possible for a Katana, too, to be able to be Mekabel's Gita. Okay, but that's not all that important to us. We need to understand the place where a woman has definitely her own yadayim. She's a na'ara. And she went ahead, she got mu'ureset, and she could get mu'ureset, according to this, either by accepting her own kedushin or by her father accepting the kedushin. Now she's going to get divorced. Who is mekabel to get? Well, also, either she can be mekabel to get or the father can be mekabel to get. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, it's not true. The Torah can define a intelligence, the yad, the kayach, to be makabel something, but you can't have two individuals sharing the same rights. So ein shtei yadayim zochot ke'achat, there's no way for two people to be able to do the same thing legally. Only the father, when the Torah said benurei beit avia, only the father can be makabel as gita. Now there's another problem here. You're right that you do not need das for accepting a get, but you do need to be mekayim the words v'shilcha mi beito. V'shilcha mi beito means that this is a woman who understands that she is divorced. Now that takes a certain level of intelligence. I mean, if the father is mekabel kedushin for a 5-year-old, and you tell her that she's divorced, does she have any idea what you're talking about? You're giving her this legal contract that may have all kinds of red tape around it. It all looks very pretty, but what does it mean to her? So as far as she's concerned, she goes back to her home. And her husband says, hey, you dimwit, don't you realize you're divorced? What's divorced, honey? I mean, so you can't get rid of this woman by being shilcha mi beito because you can't be shilcha. That's the point. So therefore, if she cannot be shomeret et kita, she doesn't know even what it means to have a get, to take care of it, and to make sure it doesn't just get lost, there is no way to be megarasher, because there is no way to be mekayim v'shilcha. So getting back to the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, about whether a nara also has a yad to be mekabelet her own get. So the Rabbanan hold, well, why not? Yadayate rata zachil rachmanu. The Torah said that the father also can have a yad. So then the Torah is giving another person that yad. Rez Rabbi Yehuda sava, b'mokam avia, yadila lav klumi. Now, the way I said it is not necessarily true, because it would depend on what the status was of the katana for us to determine who is the extra yad when you say yada yiterata. So yada yiterata could simply mean I gave the yad to the father, and now that she's become a nara, there's now an additional yad. But it could mean the opposite. It could also mean that the yada yiterata is that since both the nara and the katana can be makabel to get, the Torah also gave the yad to the avia. Fine. That's all part of this vast discussion about what the halacha is about a ketana who has a father accepting a get. Was Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Yadila, Lav Klumi, the only one individual is given the din to be koveya, the state. And therefore, the state of Kedushin, the dover that we call Kedushin or Gerushin, is only either in the hand of the father or in the hand of the daughter. Then we said, if she doesn't know how to take care of her get, she cannot be shlucha. Tana Rabbana, kitana hayodat lishmor et kita mitgareshet. But if she's ena yodat lishmor et kita, ena mitgareshet. Now, what do we mean by saying that she knows how to take care of her get? Zoi kitana, that's yodat lishmor et kita, kol shemishamer et kita vidavar acher. If she knows how to take care of her get and anything else, what? What's that supposed to, what do you mean, get and anything else? It doesn't make any sense. My kamar. Reb Yochanan, no, it means, Zarki kamar. Kol shemishamer davar acher machmat gita, someone who takes care of something else that isn't her get because it's identified as her get. Matkifla ravuna bar manoch, why? This is getting crazier by the minute. What do you mean something else? Something else, you mean if you give her a tricycle and you tell her this is your get, so she takes care of the tricycle. I mean, then you're talking about an absolute shite to be on. I mean, she's for all intents and purposes insane. What do you mean? She watches, here's my get. Honey, what are you riding on? I'm riding on my get. Right, yeah, right. So that can't be a get. So what do you mean? She's totally nuts. How can you divorce her? Ela am Ravuna bar Manoch, Meshmei de Ravacha, Berei de Ravika. No, it means that she knows the difference between a get, a real get, that it's a contract, and that it looks like this, and so on, even if she can't read, and something else. She'll laugh at you if you tell her a tricycle is a get. That's what it means. Now, the truth is that there are two different issues that are involved in the zechut of a child. One is for him to be able to be zocha, her, to be able to zocha in something for themselves. And the other is the question of whether it's possible to be zocha for someone else. Now, remember that until now, we've been talking about all of the dinim of the Rabbanan creating the possibility for lemonade stands, remember? So the question was that in order for him to be able to engage in commerce, so we said we made a takana of when it comes to finding lollipops, that you can't steal lollipops from babies. Why? Because Rabbanan Mipnei Darkei Shalom gave the baby a kinyan. Now that's clearly mashma that midiraisa, and without that takana, there would certainly be no kinyan. But that's not as simple as it seems. As Tosis points out, the time that we're needy for a takana drabbanan is where there's no das. But suppose you have someone else being makne. So to give something to a kut, now that's not dependent on the drabbanan. Remember, we've got all kinds of questions about that when it comes to a lulav, you know. You gave your lulav to a katan. Does that mean now you can't use your lulav? And so it's not lachem. These are questions d'oraisa, according to many Rishonim. The takana d'rabbanan is only where you don't have a da'at acheret makne. So therefore, what we're talking about over here might be without the need for that takana. But when we talk about das, what level of das, what self-awareness, what perception of the concept of mine is really a concept of mine. So Amrav Yud Amrav Asi. Look, the first stage in this child development is he knows the difference between what you give him. You give him something that's a nut. Now, it doesn't seem to him to be usable, right? I mean, it's hard. No way for him to bite into it. But he keeps that nut. If you give him something that looks exactly like that nut, but it's a stone, he throws it away in the garbage. So he knows the difference. That is not immediately utilitarian, but he actually is able to determine what is good for him to keep on hold of. And that level is a person who would be zocha la'atzmo. He can be kena for himself, but you can't ask him to be kena for others. But the moment that he's able to understand that you gave him a toy to play with, but it's not his, and when you want it back, he has to give it back, at that point, if he returns something that had been lent to him, chefetz, magzirola achashaad, then he can be zocha, bein la'atzmo, bein la'achirim. Over there, he can even be zocha l'acherim. Now, there's a big question as to how he could be zocha l'acherim, since it seems to require shlichut. So this is a big machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos says that what we're talking about over here is even d'oraisa. So what about the fact that we learned out from the dinim of kein tarimu gam atem, that you need ma'atem b'nei daya af shluchachem b'nei das? That, says Tosfos, is only in a ritualistic question which this person needs to have shaychus to, since he cannot take truma for himself, so because of that he can't take truma for others. But it doesn't mean that there's some fundamental issue in a katan not being a shliach. Okay, anyway, as I said, this is machlokas. According to Rashi, we're talking about being zoich l'acherim midi rabbona. That's the point. Now, says Rabbi Yehuda, but I want you to know that this is something that I was taught by Rabbi Asi. I said it over to Shmuel, and he said, I'm wrong. And he said to me, Omar Lee, da veda achati. It's both the same. Makes no difference, these two different stages. Both the same in what direction? Both the same that it is good, or both the same that neither of them can be kena? Omrev chista, it means, whether you're talking about the nut, stone and nut, or whether you're talking about the kid who gives back a toy, can only be zocha la'atzmo, but ino zocha la'acherim. Mosiv Reb Chinina Vardan, so Reb Chinina who came from Vardonia, so he asked from a Mishnah. We had, remember, in Erevin, this comes up all the time. This is very contemporary. Somebody wants to be mizaka. In this case, we're talking about a sheet of mavaot. But, I mean, this happens all the time for different types of Erevin. You want to be mizaka the other people in your city with food that you've set aside to be an Erevin for them too, right? So, okay, can you go over to your own kids and say to them, will you pick this up for, you know, on behalf of the people in the city? Or can you be mizakinus? Now, it says in the Mishnah, you take this barrel of wine. I mean, obviously, it doesn't have to be a barrel of wine, but that's the norm, is that we set aside something that lasts, and we make that the basis of the shituf, and you say, everyone who lives in this mavoi should be allowed to carry between the various courtyards of the mavoi. And then he has to be mizaka lahem. He has to give it to them legally. How does he do that? He can give it through b'no bito hagidolim. He can give it through his adult children. When it says adult children, it does not mean adult literally. It means adult that versus a child who is still eating on his father's table, because then it's not considered to be transferred. It's the same account. Fine. That he can do, and then it becomes kosher. But there's another alternative. He can use avdo v'shivchato ha'ivrim. Now, that's because, again, as Tosfos explains, the eved and the shivcha are actually supporting themselves. So even though they're eating from the adayim, but they're working for that. And working for something is considered to be yours. So it's not the same account, even though it is the same account. That's why it's different when we're talking about avdo v'shivchato. It's different than just talking about the children. But I want to know, are we talking about an eved and shivcha that are gedolim or ketanim? So can you actually get this thing transferred through an eved who's a child? So ask yourself, how old is the shivcha that is being zocha in the mavoi? Huh? I mean, if she's a gedola, which means that she's already reached puberty, so what the heck is she doing in his house as a shivcha? She already went free, b'simanim. And the shivcha is not a shivcha when she has simanim. So my baikabe, what is she doing by him? So obviously what we're talking about is a prepubescent shivcha, which means that she's a ktana. And it says over here, beferish, she can be zocha for anyone in this mavoi, and it's not a problem. So what are you telling me that you cannot be zocha? Here's this a beferish, a mishnah, that a katan can be kaina for other people, okay? So there's nothing to discuss. No, says the Gemara. This is a special case, because shit of mavos, it comes out of nowhere. It's a takana de rabbanan. Who created this idea that you need to have an Erev between people that are all part of the same Rishus HaYochid? That's entirely a Derabbanan. So because of that, it's different. The Derabbanan said, and normally it could be that a katan cannot be Zaycha in this particular case, because all we're trying to do is go through the motions in order to make this stuck on the Derabbanan. So we allowed it. Fine? Therefore, Tainas Rav Chista, that should shut up these Rav Chininov from Vardanya. Ha! Ishtik Vardan, that shut him up good. Well, you said it shut him up good. Was there any comeback that would have been possible? I mean, you know, do you have to rub it in? I mean, what do you mean that shut him up good? Could he have said something? Who cares if he shut up or didn't shut up? No, he could have said something. Mayavi Leila Mimar. He could have said something. He could have said, now this is another Gavi who is currently disabled. So if, but maybe he'll be able to remember using only half a brain. Gavi's brains actually develop in halves. So the part that is able to concentrate on this perhaps will remember to write down. Call the Tikkun Rabbanan Ke'en D'Oraisateka. Whatever the Rabbanan are mitaken. They never create new rules. It always follows the same rules that obtain elsewhere. So he could have said, That's crazy to say. What, the Rabbanon created a new concept of Zechiyah by a Katan where normally there's no such thing? That would violate the standard rule that the Rabbanon always followed the general principles on which the Deoraisa itself would have been predicated. He could have said that, but he didn't. Well, what would Rav Chisda have said to him if he had said that? Would he have had a comeback? Yes, he would have had a comeback. He would have said like this. He would have said, the only time that we say that Kol D'Tikun Rabbanan Kein D'Oraisa Tikun is something that has at least some kind of similarity to a din in the Torah. This issue about an Erev for different Chatzeras and a Mavli, what does that have to do with the preservation of China? So that was made up out of a whole cloth. And over there, Milta the Letla Yikram in Atera, I would say, said Rav Chisda, you couldn't argue that called the Tokon Rabbanon Ke'en D'Oraisa Tokon. Okay, we'll have to stop here just when it's getting really exciting and bloody. But Bezrat Hashem, we should be Zocha tomorrow. Meanwhile, wishing you a Menachem of and a Rosh Chodesh full of Bezuras Tevais, Nichumim, and the Sosein V'Simcha that the Navi promises us in this month. Kol Tov, everybody, for the Chodesh HaChamishi.